You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, we look at the marketplace on the close of the week, and we see that wheat and soybeans both took it on the chin, but corn stood in spite of all of that.
Well, the corn stayed lower, but you're right. I think it was mainly on the bean weakness. If the beans could have come around a little bit more, Dave, and not closed only about 7 or 8 cents off their lows, I think they probably would have been able to give the corn an extra boost, because Kansas City wheat came around. That brought Chicago wheat to down only a penny on the close and settlement in Chicago for March. So if beans could have done a little bit better with crude oil turning around and heading back towards $100 a barrel, I think you could have probably seen maybe steady or even positive price action in the corn. I think that would have been a very nice thing to see.
And the weeklies, as I was suggesting, significantly down on the wheat.
Yeah, and I think this is where it goes back to. Wheat has been down five of the last 6 weeks, and wheat has been a really tough nut to crack right now when it comes to getting a bottom in place. Seasonals would say that you're there. But today's report would say you're not, because the 878 million bushels of domestic ending stocks were above the highest guess, 208.5 million metric tons of global ending stocks above the highest guess, major exporters production up 2.4% just this month, and you have a situation where you're pounding more and more supplies into the market that essentially the Ukraine and the former Soviet Union had their exports reduced, but Argentina and Australia more than offset that and ended up being a net increase of major exporters' available stocks.
And increasing in feed wheat, too, yes.
Indeed. And so, but I will have to say, when the wheat came back to where it was only down a penny, and earlier in the session, the French milling wheat actually closed up a little bit, I think that has to be watched, because, like I said, the seasonals look very good during this time period in new crop July wheat, based upon the last 5 to 6 years and the average that they do tend to try to turn around by mid-December. The UBS, the Dow Jones UBS Grain Index, that weekly chart closed right on its trend line. So we didn't do any technical damage, even though we were down once again for the fifth out of 6 straight weeks in the wheat market.
So if the prices hold in here at this week's lows, are you suggesting that we might see the beginning of that seasonal technical turn higher?
I think it goes back to the currencies again, Dave. I'd really like to see the currencies jump on board. I mean, right now the Dow Jones and the S&P are making new highs. They're looking very good. Like I said, the crude oil's up near $100 a barrel again. The copper came back and rallied sharply from their lows. What I'd really like to see is the currencies turn, where the dollar, you know, forcefully goes back below that 78 level and the D-Euro tries to retake 135 to 136 to possibly give us that chance where we can get by the end of the year some real serious volume and some buying. I think a lot of traders are looking for that after today's close because of the way the week closed. It goes back to, can we follow through? And I think that's where momentum really means a lot when we come back Sunday night.
Can you make a fundamental argument for the dollar moving lower?
I can. I think that the U.S. dollar right now in the short term is not a good safe haven to come into, and I think that the European crisis has been more than priced in at this point, because the bond spreads in Italy and in Spain and those countries that have been a problem this past 5 to 6 weeks, they've come down precipitously. So the need for a safe haven dollar mindset, I just don't see it in the short term. So, yeah, in the short term, the next month to 60 days, I think the dollar is not a buy here fundamentally.
Where does MF Global sit in all of this in terms of its effect on the futures market at this date?
It goes back to the psychology of the trade, Dave, and it goes back to it. I would put the MF Global issue up there similar to what we're dealing with in Europe, and if a major country in Europe would leave the EMU and leave the Eurozone, I think that's where the psychology of the trade right now is pricing some of that in. I think the psychology of the trade and seeing the weaker volume, partially due to MF Global, in my view anyway, and based upon some of the traders I've spoken with up there in the last 5 to 6 weeks, I think that you've got volume and psychology keeping potential longs on the sidelines. And then it goes back to, until we get a resolution with the EU crisis and the EU Union comes together on their fiscal unity, and until we get a real hard number of what's missing in MF Global and how they're going to make up that difference and get that money back to the clients, I think the trade will continue to be very, very tender-footed in terms of buying into the market.
Will they remain tender-footed unless they see 100% of return on their losses?
Boy, that's a tough one. I think that that's where it goes back to the timing. If they would say you're going to get all of your money back, but it's going to take, you know, 6 to 9 months, I got to think that that probably would be okay with investors as long as there's a steady stream flowing back to the liquidity. But, you know, you and I have both read a lot of articles in the last 2 to 3 weeks how this has really damaged the credit lines and the availability of liquidity for producers and elevators to be able to operate. And so money needs to stream relatively quickly in order for it not to do more long-term damage.
You were over in France giving a talk. What kind of things did you learn on your trip that would be useful to farmers here?
Absolutely amazing that the psychology over there was nearly identical. The grain company I went and did a meeting for and did a conference with I went to their offices after the conference, and it was absolutely amazing. They talked about the USDA corn numbers and where that quote unquote missing corn is. And the very next thing they talked about was how strong their domestic and demand for corn is, just like it is here in the United States. So I felt like I was talking to traders in the United States about U.S. corn when I was talking to traders in France about French corn. That's probably the biggest thing I picked up. And when I talked to a lot of different people from a lot of different walks of life about the Eurozone, I didn't run into one person that thought the Eurozone would break up. I think their biggest concern is that a country would leave it, and they'd have to deal with that. But it struck me that they are, in the long term, very attached to the euro, and the nationalism is not an issue for them right now. At least that's what I picked up.
Last question before we let you go, a quick one. In Ohio, will they get the remaining corn out of it?
I'm hearing not, Dave. I'm hearing that they may get something out next week, but for the most part, it's going to be tough to get that last 20% out.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great weekend, sir.
You too. That's Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. And he joins us every Friday afternoon on the Closing Market Report.